If you could read my mind, love, what could tell my thoughts could tell? Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a mission well.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
With chains upon my feet, you know that ghost is me.
Tim has chosen the music for this show. And that's my good friend Gordon Lightfoot. Three Chord Gord, as we used to call him.
It's awesome.
I've been to a number of Gordon Lightfoot concerts. If you could read my mind, what a lovely intro into our next guest on the Drew Marshall Show. Catherine, now, Catherine, right off the bat, we're going to bring you in on this interview. Before I even properly introduce you, I need to know how to pronounce your last name.
Opashinov.
I had it right.
You were close. Actually, it's Opashinov, but nobody ever says
it right.
No,
that's
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Opashinov.
Yeah.
I like that. That's cooler.
Ladies and gentlemen, Catherine Opashinov is here in the studio, intuitive counselor, hypnotherapist, psychic, clairvoyant, whatever you want to call her. Catherine believes that everybody has intuition with professional training. It can be an incredibly useful life skill applicable to everything from finding your car keys to getting a promotion at work. Catherine is joining us today to explain why she does what she does, how she does what she does, and what does she do. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
After you kind of found out what kind of show this is, were you a little surprised that the God people would be bringing you in like this?
No.
Because there's a lot of, I mean, look, there's opposition. Excuse me while I fix my outfit.
Your skirt.
Yeah. Oh, you can't give it away. We've got a big prize going up. No, that's all right. People now think I'm sitting here in drag, so, you know. Anyway, if you do want to win fabulous prizes here on the Drew Marshall Show, go to our Twitter site, which is TDMS, and there's a picture we've posted there of me standing in my lovely outfit holding a book written by a good friend of mine. And then send us a little message or call us. Tim is now taking more pictures of me. Back to Catherine. Okay, what do you do?
Well, I'm a professional intuitive in addition to being a psychotherapist. But what I'm really passionate about is teaching people how to access their intuition and use it for all sorts of daily things like keys, etc.
Do you think everybody has intuition?
Absolutely.
Can you teach intuition?
Well, actually what I say in my classes all the time is that I'm not really teaching intuition. I'm just helping them to remember that they have it and usually overcome their fears of it. And then they just kind of, you know, fine-tune the skill itself with them. But usually they already have it. In a two-hour class, I can get people who don't know each other, who are completely new to intuition, by the end of it to pair up and without saying a word to their partners, one of them to be able to pretty accurately intuit what the other person's thinking in terms of a favorite food.
Fluke?
No, because I've taught over 1,000 students, and at this point, I'd say, you know, the minority won't get it at all, but it's a pretty small minority. Out of a class of, let's say, 30, maybe 4 or 5 people won't get it at all. About 6 people will get it immediately and completely bang on accurate, and then the rest will get it pretty darn close or get it, but it'll take about, you know, 20 minutes, 10 minutes or something. So when you're talking about 20 people or so out of every 30 people constantly getting it, just maybe they take about 10 minutes, and that's only after about an hour and a half of teaching, right?
Okay, in the Jesus scene, we use a phrase or a word called discernment. Okay?
Absolutely.
And they say that some people have a spiritual gift of discernment and that some people don't. I find that the people that don't have the spiritual gift of discernment, or which usually ties in with the wisdom factor there mm-hmm. as well, are the people that have the other really super spiritual gifts, like the gift of prophecy. The people with the gift of prophecy are usually the most irritating people on the face of the planet because they don't have any wisdom or discernment to go along with the prophecy.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of the camp that I've kind of come from and have understood and studied, et cetera, et cetera. So, and those people would say, well, you know, Kate, if you have this gift of kind of discerning truth in people and maybe understanding their feelings a little bit, being able to hone in a little bit on where they're at and where they're mm-hmm. coming from, et cetera, that's just discernment. That's just
absolutely
God
I
giving
agree.
You an empathetic spirit, and you're able to tune into people's sensitivities. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I use the word discernment all the time in my class.
Okay.
In fact, sometimes I'll say, look, it's really like a game of 20 questions. It's just you develop it as a skill. So you learn how to take the infinite and narrow down to the finite. So you just get really good at pinpointing things. And that's by asking a series of questions and using discernment. And it is about sensitivity. Another way of describing intuition is just deep listening. Just listen. Listen carefully to people. Listen
carefully.
What? I almost fell for that.
You did.
I'm very gullible.
Yeah, and isn't it interesting that we now live in a world of horrific listening abilities? It's like reading. People don't read and people don't listen these days very much, right? Anyway, that's what I'm finding. Okay, what is the spooky side of what you do? Seriously, I know you don't, and we talked about this in the moment, you don't want to be labeled with the charlatans that are out there with their crystal balls and their Young Street shops, because you're so much more than that, and I don't want... this to be a Jerry Springer show. I don't want whack jobs. Well, it's fun radio sometimes, but I just, it's so yesterday, right? It's like Jerry Springer's already covered all that, and so is Howard Stern. Speaking of nuns. So what I really want to understand from you is, what is the spooky side of what you do?
Spooky. Spooky for me or spooky for
others? For others, for outsiders, for people looking in. Because here's the deal. Yeah. You're at a party.
Yeah.
And what's the first question that comes up at a party? What do you do?
Yes.
And then you use all your nice little politically correct language, intuitive, da, 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 and eventually they get around to, you're a psychic, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, whoa, and they either do one of two things. They either stay away from you for the rest of the party.
Yes.
Or they go, hey, do some stuff on me. Do some stuff on me.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? One or the other.
I've gone through both of those stages, yeah.
Okay. So when you do stuff on people, what do you do?
Well, when I was a teenager, I explained to people in sort of my biography that when I was first, I didn't know, I thought everybody was intuitive as a kid growing up. I thought everybody was this intuitive, the way that I have it. And then I only noticed that it was a bit different than other people's intuition by the time I got to my teen years. But at that point, I still didn't take it seriously to use it for anything productive. It was a party trick. And so my friends would drag me out at parties as a teenager and be like, hey, read Bob. I'd be like, okay, Bob, are you ready? Let's go. And then I just start reading Bob. Or
okay, explain that. Pull me right into that scenario. Here's Bob. Read Bob. How do you start reading?
Okay, but remember, this is the context of teenagers, right?
Okay, got it. Yeah.
Okay. So it'd be like, Bob, you like Kelly, but Kelly is interested in so-and-so, and so-and-so is interested in so-and-so, but you haven't told Bob. I mean, you haven't told Kelly because you're actually really afraid because you have this insecurity back from Marcia in the third grade. Now, mind you, I wouldn't have had known Marcia or the third grade for Bob. I didn't even know Bob necessarily. And he'd be like, oh my gosh, how'd you know about Marcia in the third grade? She scarred me. I can never love again.
Seriously, Marcia.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it'd just be a laugh. But then by the time
accurate?
Yeah.
See, that's the stuff that wigs people out, right?
Yeah, which is why I don't do it anymore.
But you can do it. Use it for good.
Yes, exactly. I do it professionally in a different way, but that's a party trick. I don't do that anymore. So,
have you ever come across evil?
You know, when I first started in this line of work, I believed only in good things and light things. And then eventually, I started bumping into some things that I couldn't quite explain from the paradigm of good. And so, I'd say there's some stuff out there that's kind of an energy that needs to just break down completely and be put on the compost heap and go back to the light. Let's put it that way.
Sorry, was that a yes?
Well, I just think that people say evil and then immediately everybody goes, and everybody gets scared. And I don't think we should be afraid. I think we should just say, you know what? This isn't a healthy energy. It can be turned back into a healthy energy. And by consciously choosing that, we can sometimes affect that.
What do you think of Jesus?
That's a big question. It's a good one, but it's a big one. Do you want to make more specific?
Because if you say, I don't believe in Jesus, da, 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 you say that these days in North America, you're already kind of dismissed in some circles. Yeah. And I think the majority of people still believe that Jesus is connected, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And so, especially if you want to get voted into politics, there's a Jesus factor there. Got to be, especially in the States, But we're now coming into an age where it's okay to diss Jesus. It's okay to not believe in God. It's okay to verbalize these things.
Yeah.
There's a lot more out there anyway, agnostics and atheists, and the esoteric is a lot more palatable these days than it was, say, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you're now, I mean, good for you for being born into an era where the esoteric is now looked upon with interest as opposed to disdain.
Or worse.
So what do you think of Jesus?
Well, the first sentence that popped in my head is, I like him.
He ain't heavy, he's my brother kind of thing.
He's just, I know it sounds, this is going to sound completely funny, but just if I'm speaking from my gut, I like him and I wish he was here again. You know, I think that we need more of that. I think that there's a place for a gentle Jesus in the world, but I also think I really dug the money, the kicking the moneylenders butts Jesus too.
Amen, sister.
I don't know. It makes me sad that the circles that I usually get shoved into because of what I do, actually, it's not cool to be talking about Jesus. And yeah, so
really?
So I will stand out by saying, hey, wait a second. Come on. Are you telling me that Jesus didn't exist, or Jesus wasn't a good person, or Jesus didn't have something important? You can say yes to Buddha and you can say yes to somebody else, but you can't say yes to Jesus. I'm not into that.
Really?
Yeah. I think that they all had something. They were powerful. You know?
That's interesting. I find this whole thing very interesting. Yesterday, you said to me, hey, would you mind if I did a preliminary reading on you? And again, you used a whole bunch of other words, too. And I went, what? Can you explain to me what you asked for yesterday and then how that happened?
Well, can I explain that you had said to me to do a reading on the show? And I said, well, I'm happy for you to come into my office and do a reading, but I'm not usually actually a performance psychic, which is a special category.
Yeah, on the spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm still not sure whether I, and I got to admit this to my listeners, I'm still not sure where I'm at, because I've never had a reading done, right? Okay. And I've always had the teaching, you know, in the circles that I ran, it was, you don't want to have a reading done because you're touching on stuff that you really don't want to be touching with. And so as a Jesus person, don't even go there, right? So I'm not sure I want a reading done, but what I wanted to know from you is what you picked up. What did you notice or discern or pick up? And if you want to call that a reading, fine, I guess. But I'm interested to know what someone like you picks up about someone like me.
What I picked up about you was...
Without reading my website or Wikipedia page.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. Actually, what I do is professionally for a reading, I actually request that I don't know anything about the person at all, just their first name, and that's it, and when they're showing up to my office. And my assistant does the booking to make sure that I don't know anything about them. And people are like, come on. You know, real skeptics are like, oh, you know, you want to be able to read. You want to Google them. No, you don't understand. It's much harder to do research. It takes me an hour of research. It's much easier if I know nothing about them. I become a blank slate.
Right.
And then whatever comes to me, no matter how wacky it may seem, I'm like, hey, man, I'm not creative enough to make this up. Like,
right.
that's not me, right?
Yeah,
so I had one woman, and I'll come back to
what
you asked. But
please come back to me.
Yes.
I like always coming back to me.
I had one woman who I was sitting into me reading for her, and I was like, what is up? I have that Wind Beneath My Wings song, you know, Barbara.
Ooh, that's evil.
Yeah, I was just...
Bette Midler.
Bette Midler, that's it. I was like, okay, I'm not a Bette Midler fan. I'm not against her, but it's just not my personal iPod shuffle choice, right? So I was like, what's up? What is with this? I'm like, okay, I've totally lost it. It's the day has come, finally. So I said to her, look, I have to just say this out loud and see if it means anything to you. What's with the Bette Midler, Wind Beneath My Wings? And she burst into tears and she said, oh, and we were just talking about her mother. Her mother would pass. And she said, that's my mother's favorite song. That was our song. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it was a huge relief for me, as you can imagine.
Sure.
So, the less I know, the better. So with you, it's hard. Also, because I'm on the air. I don't even like having my photo taken. It makes me nervous. Never mind, like, now go.
Yeah.
So what I picked up was, I thought, nothing that amazed me, but it's pretty much that you could, not super psychic, but more observant. You listening is really important to you. It's kind of your raison d'etre, being heard and being seen, not just for you, but for other people. It's something that really fires you up. And I did come up with something that I thought, I kept on saying, come on, give me some information that it would not be quite so obvious. So I looked at your career, and you've been doing this for a while, and it's something that you're really accustomed to. And I don't know that from your website. I didn't check to see how many years you've been doing that. But you enjoy it, but it's not your edge anymore. And it's not the time yet, but it will be the time soon for you to let go of the way you know you identify yourself in your career and move into a period of nothingness, which is going to be challenging. Everybody likes to have an identity they hang on to really strongly. But I have a sense that you're pretty good at this. You've dropped things before and completely remade yourself a few times over, so you're pretty fearless in that way. But you'll go through that period, then it'll turn into a period of introspection and recreation, and then it's going to be all about community, because my sense is you're really tired of kind of doing what you would – I don't know if this is the word you use, but it really feels like the way it feels to you is mission. You're on a mission. It's not just a raison d'etre. It's a mission.
I'm on a mission from God.
Exactly. Kind of Blues Brothers.
Yes.
Exactly.
Is there a theme song? Is there a theme song for Drew I should be playing in the background here?
Sorry.
It's okay. So when you and you're kind of tired of carrying it all on your shoulders, and you're doing it solo right now, and you're moving towards community.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
But I honestly, I think I would do a lot better if I wasn't sort of on air. And
oh, listen, nobody listens to this show. Don't worry about it. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, so when people, my hands are sweaty, but I think they're sweaty because they were underneath this outfit I was on. So maybe, yeah. I don't know, I'm nervous. My reaction to that while you were saying things was, interesting. So if somebody, if you say something to somebody and you end up being bang on, the reaction from the person, I'm trying to sort of figure out my reaction. So I'm kind of going, okay, if you're accurate, where does that come from? I don't trust people enough, so I still think you read enough material out there because there's lots out there on me, and I'm very open and vulnerable, right? So I'm telling you straight up.
I know. That's why it's hard to do a reading for you.
Yeah, I got it. So that's the first part. I go, well, you know, you could probably pick that up. But then I did come to this thing where I said, but you would have had to have waded through so much material that you would have been up all night in order to find that stuff out. And I don't think I'm that important that you would be up all night looking at my
life. I would agree.
Shut up.
You're giving me way too good research skills.
Right. part of my job is researching other people.
Sure.
And I love freaking out the guests that I have on by knowing stuff about them that they didn't think I would know.
Sure.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
And these days with the internet and Google and whatever else, you can find out anything about anybody.
Okay.
So my pessimism comes in that aspect. But when you're spot on about stuff that I've maybe thought, actually thought, I then have to go, and Tim, you need to help me figure this out too. Where did that information come from? It was given to you. Was it given to you by God? Is God allowing you to be used to confirm something in my life? Because there's stuff in the Bible that says have nothing to do with divination, witchcraft, and witchcraft is a hokey word these days, but divining, different bits of information. So, and there's some people that won't listen to my show anymore.
Yeah.
Now that I've had you on. No, I'm serious. There are people that will not listen anymore now that I've had you on.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm not. That's fine. So how do I process my reaction to this? Where does this information come from? Now, how do I say this? Talking about the blue whale that I played with when I was a little boy in the tub would be really freaky.
Yeah.
Talking about my dead mother's favorite ex, whatever it is, would be really freaky, right? So where you said when we started this conversation a few minutes ago, you said, okay, please give me something on Drew. You used that kind of phraseology. Who are you talking to when you say, please give me something?
Well, prayer. I mean, I think that would be the word that Christians would understand, and it's also a word that I would use. A lot of what I do is meditation is when I'm being quiet with myself, and prayer is when I'm being quiet with the divine. So
there are people within Christian denominations who would practice very similar to the stuff that you do.
Yeah.
But they just put different labels on it.
Absolutely. And I would say that somebody who is really connected to the divine themselves,
they
don't need my services.
No.
That's all.
See, there are people out there, especially in the Holy Roller churches, that have this, they believe in the spiritual gift of prophecy, and they speak over people. And they say, I feel that God, wants me to say this to you.
Mm.
And they use that. You can't help but say a sentence like that and have some kind of manipulation that goes along with that, you know? God wants me to say this to you. Now, that might be different than saying, I feel, look, I talked to God and, something came up and I kind of feel like I'm supposed to say this to you. But look, you run with it yourself. If it means something, great. If it doesn't, doesn't. And you do the same thing in your practice. Let me say this to you. If it means something to you, great. If it doesn't, then let it go.
Well,
no?
Sure, but I try not to speak in such vague terms or hedge my bets so much. If it's
why is too wimpy?
Well, they're showing up and they're paying me to deliver. So when I'm in a reading, I make sure that I try to be not only as accurate as possible, but that the information I'm giving them is constructive. Who cares if I can say, your great aunt Sarah's favorite potato chip was barbecue? Like, who cares? so much. Maybe
how
that,
did you know that?
Yeah, maybe it shows that I'm really, really, really psychic, but not particularly healing or helpful. So it has to not only be accurate, but it has to be relevant and helpful to them. So they're going to come in. Everybody has their own thing they're coming for. And not only do I have to get information, but I have to discern what it is that they want out of that reading without asking them. Because what they want sometimes and what they say they want, what they actually want sometimes are also not the same thing.
Okay, so when you're praying, mm-hmm. when you're asking for information, asking for information, are you praying to something, to someone, to the gods, to a god, to a? We used to study these groups that had the guided meditation kind of tour of the universe kind of thing.
Yeah. So, like spirit guide?
Yeah, do you have like an Egyptian? They're always cool people too. Nobody had a guide that was like the nerd from seventh grade diet or whatever.
I actually usually the term that I use is just the divine and the great good and light and the all of everything. Sometimes I say God. Just,
you know, that all sounds soft, right? That sounds kind of kumbaya-ish.
Yeah, I know, but that's my personal prayer, right? It's not for my clients.
No, but before you were like, no, I'm not going to talk in those terms because that just is so
for
rapey.
My clients.
Yeah.
If I'm going to give them information. But when I pray, I'm just going to, I want to use the words that feel right about how I address my maker, you know, which is another way of putting it.
Huh.
I just have to sit when I'm praying, the most important thing for me, and I'm sure other people have their versions, but is that I just try to be as honest as possible. So I don't try and make it look good for the divine because it's absurd.
No, but I
feel like a child in front of my maker saying like, hi, you know, like, please help me out here. I need a little info.
Yeah.
So great, good and light, the best of everything, the good. I just want to make sure that I'm connecting to the light and to the good. So that's my strong emphasis.
But pride slips into all of us.
For sure, which is why we have to guard against it constantly, be vigilant.
And I was wondering, in what you guys do, the psychic intuitive stuff, when you're wrong, what does that do to you?
That, I laugh. I just am like, whoops, sorry about that. And then I'll be like, and then immediately I get curious. Where did that come from? Am I reading somebody else by accident? Am I just thinking about the person I saw before you?
Maybe you just guessed wrong. You went in for the zone and you just...
Well, you're not guessing, though. That's the thing, right? So if I get it wrong, there's a reason for it. It's not just a random guess. Then if it was random guessing, I get it wrong a lot of the time. Right?
But outsiders are going to say you're guessing. You're guessing based on a criteria of...
Frankly, guessing would make me look like I'm working a lot less hard than I am. It's really easy to stand there and go, your favorite food is hot dog, sushi, potatoes, chips. You know, like, it's really cool. You know, you can just spit it out quick.
Right,
but when
I'm trying to intuit it,
I have to kind of concentrate and get really quiet because I'm going into deep listening. So I think the more people understand the process, the less likely they are to just dismiss it. I'm okay with skeptics, but just let's have an intelligent conversation about it.
Well, we're going to have a skeptic on the show in about 10 minutes. Folks, his name is James Randi. He is the international fraud buster extraordinaire. He's been in all the big networks, all of the big television shows. I saw a clip of him on the Johnny Carson show where he busted Peter Popoff, a faith healer who had his wife speaking messages into his earpiece and about people sitting in the crowd, and he used that to basically garner a multi-million dollar income.
Wow.
Jerk.
So that's a dead giveaway.
What is?
If you really want to spot a fraud, I'm not saying that all people who are doing stuff like this don't necessarily have any gifts, but you're just not supposed to be using it that way. I really don't.
Okay.
I really believe that. To me, it's about ethics more than anything.
Right, and I want to talk to you about how you use the stuff you got on you.
On me?
Yeah.
You mean to heal myself?
Not only to heal yourself, but to guide you into better choices and decisions.
Sure.
So let me get personal just for a second and tell me to go away if you'd like. Are you single or married or what?
Single.
Okay. So the love stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, where is the man for my plan? I'm not sure, you know. And here I am. I assume everybody's heterosexual right off the bat. And maybe that I'm a bad person for doing that. But
I am. That's a good assumption, yeah.
As Jerry would say, not that there's anything wrong with it. have you used your stuff in your love life?
Yes.
You can't do that.
Well, in the sense that any woman on a date is going to be perceptive about the guy she's going out with.
Some women on dates, when it comes to love, their perception is brutal.
Okay, so let me put it this way. This is the fine line. Will I observe whether this guy is for me or not? Yes. Will I observe why this guy might be for me or not? Yes. Will I go psychically rooting around in his past to find out everything about his, I don't know, ex-girlfriend's credit rating? No.
Come on.
Absolutely not.
Why?
Because, first of all,
nobody's going to know.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know about this guy you're going to spend the rest of his life. You don't want to know about his past.
If I do that, I will never be able to uncover whether this guy is forthcoming, honest,
Yeah,
sharing.
You will, because you know what he should say, and if he doesn't say it, then you kick him to the curb.
I just don't know, like, what am I, like, Starsky and Hutch busting this guy? Like, no, thank you.
How old are you, Starsky and Hutch?
Let me explain. Drew's jealous that he never had that power to figure out which girls liked him.
Seriously. I just needed to find girls, period.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Whether they like me
it's
or not,
it's just creepy
matter.
And unethical, and it sets a weird energy for the date. Like, yeah, I just want to relax. That's the last place I want to be psychic, to be honest with you. Yeah. That's the one place I just want to be able to be like every other woman.
But if you end up being single at 40, mm-hmm. you'll be using the gifts.
No, not that way.
You reckon?
Yeah, I'm check back at 40, promise. It's, seriously, it's creepy. It's really creepy. And you know what? I bet anything if I did, this is my prediction, which I don't usually make, but just for the fun of it. If I did, I bet you'd backfire on me so badly. I bet that guy would, like, finally find the guy, and he'd probably be like, ew, you're creepy, and he'd run.
Yeah.
So it's surfing.
That's
right.
True. That's
it's
true.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Like, look, you don't
do that. It's bad karma.
If you go to the bathroom, you don't check in your dates, you know. Well, if you're on a date, sorry, that came out wrong. If someone
finish that sentence quicker, please.
If one goes to the bathroom, their date does not check in their purse, right? That'd be creepy. Wait, oh no, come on.
I would.
No.
Sure, I check medicine cabinets, the whole thing.
No.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, see, I don't even like asking questions. I feel that might be too personal. Maybe this is just a personality. This has nothing to do with being psychic. This is I'm really trusting and gullible and nice.
Yeah. Okay. Do you read palms?
No.
Do you believe in the palm reading thing? You would, if you believed in it, you would do it, probably. So therefore, you probably don't believe in it.
No, it's not that. It's that I'm gonna get some strongly worded letters probably from palmists everywhere. But I honestly think that there's a lot of ways you can get information. There's a lot of divination tools you can use. But it's the difference between singing with a karaoke machine and going a cappella. If you really can do this, you don't need to use divination tools. When I first started, I did, but then very quickly I grew them.
Divination tools would include crystal ball, tarot cards, palm reading, tea, leaves, else? Toe jam.
Yeah, exactly. And really all it is, exactly, no, could be like a piece of chewed up gum you found underneath the table, because honestly,
that looked like Jesus.
It doesn't even have to. Could be Elvis. But the point is that you really just want to have something to focus on. It really is just to get you to concentrate and focus and get quiet inside. And so people think the power's in the cards. Oh, don't use cards, whatever divination tool, because they're evil. You could use anything. They're not evil. It's just that people need something to focus on because they have to shut out all the external noise of everyday life.
Right. Yeah, that's a key point. Even in prayer and meditation, shutting out the external noise is that's a tough thing to do. Yeah. I remember whenever I go away in a retreat, it takes me at least 48 hours to shut down. Yeah. At least 40. Or if I take the summer off, I'm off in August, it takes me at least the first week just to unplug and shut down. Mm-hmm. It takes me a long time. So, okay, while we've been speaking, we've got to get to James Randi here in a second, but while we've been speaking, have you picked up anything else?
Oh, no, not while we were speaking, but I did pick up something before. And
did you?
Yeah, if you wanted me to mention more personal. So your family, your parents.
Yes.
Because you said to me before, and I wouldn't usually do this, but you gave me permission beforehand.
Yes.
I asked for it to get personal. And it feels like the last 4 or 5 years, you finally started letting go of a lot of the old grievances you had with your parents, and that you you've come to your okay, you don't want me to hold back, so I'll say you're a lot less angry than you used to be.
Right. Yeah.
you had a big chip on your shoulder, as they would say before, and you've chilled substantially.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with your personal family, the family you've created, and the energy that you have around that.
Okay.
It's just changed your heart a lot.
Hmm.
And you're
cool.
It's part of your gift to be really angry, but that was a different kind of anger. That was very personal, and it wasn't really healthy for you. It wasn't feeding you, and you know that. So you've kind of let that go in the last 4 or 5 years. And now you just kind of take it moment by moment. When something arises in you, you just kind of reflect and chill.
Very cool. Mm. You know me well enough to know that you heard all the stuff she said about me.
Yeah.
The stuff before and the stuff now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know about your future part, so I can't really comment on that. But I do know that, you know, your family background hasn't always been the easiest. And, you know, you are still trying to figure out sometimes things with your dads. I don't know specifically if it's gotten better necessarily or gotten worse. But I do know that, you know, that is definitely part of your journey.
Okay. All right. I want you to stay and hang around while we have James Randi on the show.
Okay.
And James, for our listeners, is the guy who basically says, Kate, everything you do is rubbish. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. It's mm-hmm. rubbish, rubbish, rubbish. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who was a magician himself, who was hung over Niagara Falls in a straitjacket, did some amazing things, was in the inside of the industry, the magic industry, yeah. and whatever else, and he's revealed the charlatans out there, the spoonbenders.
Absolutely, and good for him for doing that.
Yes, I think, and that's why I think you'd be okay with being here today. Mm-hmm. So before we go to our very short break and come back with the Mythbuster himself, Mr. James Randi, I want to tell you that everything Kate said is spot on. Everything she said. I don't know whether that's weird or not, but it just is what it is. So
I'm out of a job in 2 years?
Pretty much, yeah. While I wander in the darkness again. Thank you very much. Short break. Coming back on The Drew Marshall Show with international fraud buster James Randi. And then at the end of the show, we're going to wrap it up with H1N1. Are you going to get your shot or not?
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.